Welcome to a Burning Fire, Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The New Testament writers used a variety of comparisons and illustrations and expressions to depict the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. Some of these were the distinction between a servant of sin and the servant of righteousness, the difference between a saint and a sinner, one separated from Christ and one made nigh and united with Christ, even as one being an enemy and one who has been reconciled to God. They compared the lost with the saved, the condemned with the redeemed, those dead in sins compared with those who are alive in Christ. Now, all of these terms have the mark of the Holy Spirit, inasmuch as the Word is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And all of these present to us the vast change that's taken place when one comes from the dark valley of sin into the glorious light of truth through Christ. And one vivid expression is found in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Usually we delight in new things. We even delight in seeing old things being restored to look and operate as if they were as good as new. Some of us enjoy refinishing furniture. I've done a lot of that. And it is a pleasure to see some old piece that somebody thought was junk changed into something that everyone admired and considered both useful and beautiful. Some have the ability to restore old automobiles, and what they produce is often the envy of car lovers everywhere. Just about everyone admires the work that goes into the restoration and making new again of some old house that's been run down and in bad repair. You know, many fathers have brightened the eyes of their youngsters when they took a broken toy and fixed it just as good as new. And what a blessing when some skilled surgeon is able to successfully operate on someone whose life was endangered by disease and assist them by removing the diseased tissue, and they begin to function as if it had never happened. Salesmen are often seen and heard to use the pitch of contrasting the before and the after use of their product. Yes, we like things new. We like things refreshed and restored. We like things made right again. Well, friend, a person can be made new. Regardless of how broken and useless he's allowed himself to become, if he will do what is necessary, he can be made new again. Now, it remains for God to make a sinful man a new creature. We're born into this world spotless and sinless and pure. We're innocent. We're undefiled. But we corrupt ourselves when we partake of sin, and sin ruins us. It makes us unfit for fellowship with God. It separates us from God, and we are as enemies and aliens with God. But God can take that blighted life, even your life, even my life, and make it over again, so that he will cherish our fellowship. And so great is the change that is wrought, that the Holy Spirit has used the term a new creature to describe it. As the song says, bring Christ your broken heart so marred by sin. He will create anew, make whole again. David wrote in Psalm 51, verse 10, create in me a new heart, O God. The tremendous power that affects such a change and renewal begins with the love of God for us in spite of our sinfulness. The gospel message is the message of God's love for man and what God has done for man that man could not do for himself. It's the story of an unmerited, unearned, undeserved, freely offered grace and favor to mankind. John wrote, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Words of Christ, John 3:16. Paul said, but God commendeth his love toward us in that Christ died for us, Romans 5 and verse 8. His love is what motivates and prompts our love in return. In 1 John 4 and verse 19, we love because he first loved us. And by what Paul called the foolishness of preaching, and that is what some considered it to be in the first century and some consider it so even now, we hear about this love that God has for man. And this is the way that God initiates the operation of our salvation. And upon our belief in that message, the demonstration of God's love in the sending of His Son, we are given the right to become the sons of God. And then upon our obedience to the commands of the gospel, we are enabled to be new creatures. Now, to become a new creature demands wholehearted and unreserved commitment of self to God through His Son. And this commitment is made by obedience from the heart to that form of doctrine which was delivered, Romans 6, 17 and 18. The doctrine that saves, friend, is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. And we obey a form, a picture, a presentation of that doctrine. By repentance we die to sin, and in baptism we are buried, only to be raised to walk, as Paul said, in newness of life, Romans 6, 3 and 4. And those who embark on this newness of life are those who are born again, John 3, 3 through 5. They are the ones that are the new creatures. Notice some other illustrations to becoming a new creature that we find in the New Testament. Colossians 3, 9 and 10, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Yes, we are new people. The old man of sin, is put away. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, friend, that's a sad spiritual state. People were living in that state back in Paul's day. People are living in that state in our own time. But Paul continued, and such were some of you. But notice the change in what had happened. You're washed, you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, to whom was Paul writing when he wrote these words? He was writing to some who were at one time among the very worst sort of people. Their lives were wretched as far as God's will was concerned. But they were not that way when Paul wrote. What had happened? Why, they had changed. They were once reprehensible, but they were washed. They were sanctified. They were set apart. They were justified, made righteous before God. They were now new creatures. God has designed the avenue of an active, obedient faith as the way to bring about this newness of life. Beginning on Pentecost, many have favorably responded to the call of the Lord to obey Him. The Samaritans, the Ethiopian, Saul of Tarsus, Cornelius, Lydia, the jailer, the Corinthians, many others, all are examples of people becoming new creatures by being born again, just like Christ taught Nicodemus that one must do in John 3. This, friend, is essential to salvation. One is born of water and the Spirit when he is led by the Spirit's message to be baptized in water for the remission of sins. Again, Paul noted in Colossians chapter 2, buried with him in baptism, wherein ye also are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, and for you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he hath quickened, that is, made alive, together with him, having forgiven you of all trespasses. From death to life is the process of becoming a new creature. It is an operation of God that we take advantage of by our faith in that operation and by our obedience to His conditions. And as a new creature, the Christian takes a new mind and a new attitude toward all things. He has a different outlook, even on life. He once looked on things as would one who was doomed and damned. But now he considers things in the light of truth, as a redeemed and saved person. He develops the mind of Christ, as we are taught to do in Philippians 2. He is obedient to God. He's submissive to all of his will. He's respectful of God's authority, and he joyfully follows wherever the master's path might take him. He adopts the mind of service, Romans 12:1-2. The mind of the flesh is forsaken for the mind of the spirit, Romans 8:5-10. The flesh and the spirit are contrasted as the way of sin versus the way of righteousness, and they're not compatible with each other. The new creature goes with the spirit. He is provoked to think on things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of good report, Philippians 4:8. He accepts Paul's challenge of Colossians 3:1-3, if ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. As much as anything else, upon becoming a new creature, one has a new goal. He has a new aim, a new purpose, a new direction in life. As Paul stated, it is no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me, Galatians 2:20. Our goal should be, wherefore we labor, not whether present or absent, that we may be accepted of him, 2 Corinthians 5:9. And as it is true with any new creature, there must be growth. With the Christian, there is the necessity of adding Christ-like qualities to our lives. You are familiar with the passage in 2 Peter 1. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Friend, man's hope in this world is that he can be a new creature. He not only can become a new creature, indeed he must, lest he live and die in sin and suffer in hell in eternity. Jesus said, "Except ye be born again." And that is just the way of saying, except you become a new creature. What a wonder that we can be made whole again. We can be made new. We can start over. We can be clean. We can be purified and set apart. We can be sanctified, every spot and every stain removed. And it is the blood of Christ that does that. And with the application of his blood, when we obey his commands to believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, we are raised a new creature in Christ. And that's where salvation abounds, 2 Timothy 2:10. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.